Let's, shall we? Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily right here on a Feel Good Football Friday. It is Friday. Welcome to October. Gooch, my goodness, October's here. I feel like we just started this business, and it was just like yesterday. We were signing our lives away in February, and all of a sudden, it's October.
I never know that it's the new month until it's the first day of the new month, because I have no idea.
And you don't like my rhyme. You don't know the jingle. Hello, JoJo Cowboys. I mean, look, I'm a fan already. He's a Cowboy fan. But yeah, so anyway, it is October 1st. We are here coming to you live from the
Spooky Studios here. The Flippin' Made Easy. It's Halloween time.
It is, baby. Halloween. It's time for the Gabagool. The ghouls, you know what I'm saying? They're out. And let me tell you something. Walked out today to go to the gym. Ooh, got a little brisk, chill in the air. I walk out like a moron, with the cut-off sleeve shirt and shorts, and I'm just like, okay, need my hoodie. But yeah, I'm loving the weather.
It was like 50 degrees early this morning. I'm loving it.
Yeah, no, it's amazing, amazing. So a lot of things going on right now with Chop Sports, and of course today's show, as we said, brought to you by the Flipping Made Easy Studio, and we're coming to you live from there. We'll start it off hot, because I'm telling you right now, the teams that get the hottest first will succeed. And I start with the New York Yankees, and I leave this graphic up and just to give it a so this is a sign outside at Fenway. It says kids eat free when the Red Sox win, and then there's Giancarlo Stanton saying F them kids. I love it.
Do you also know that this is a
terrible
this is a sign that AJ is not here today because this graphic is lacking in I don't even know, man.
I'm not the graphic extraordinaire, okay? Look who it is coming in the chat. Pete McNally, Pistol Pete in
What's
the house,
on,
production Pete. We miss you, buddy. But yeah, AJ is not here today.
You made a self-declaration. You're like, I'm not a graphics guy. That's what you said. It was just me and you in the room. I'm over there working on what I'm working on. You're like, well, I guess I'm just not a graphics guy.
I mean, I can learn, but it's like, holy shit, man. This is a lot tougher than I thought. You guys, this is why I don't give you guys enough. I give you all the credit in the world, but I don't give enough to AJ because that boy is
just
cooking.
Very tedious. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's no
shortcuts. Remove the background of this. Put this guy there. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what? I have no idea what I'm doing. But anyway, the Yankees win again last night, and now the magic number is 2 with 3 to play. They got Tampa Bay coming up. I don't know. See, the magic number things weird me out. I was at softball last night. By the way, Chop Sports Softball 3-1. We get the first win.
And Pete, we miss you too, buddy. You got to stop by. Yeah, I know, man, you're far definitely away, but next time you're in Jersey,
for sure, bro. Let's get a little reunions going on. But I will say this. Chop Sports Softball 3-1. We won the first game by forfeit because they didn't have enough guys. So we were like, all right, F them. We'll just sit around, drink a couple beers, then we'll start. We tore the cover off the ball. We got ourselves a nice little Chop Sports 2.0 softball team going on right now. But anyway, in any event, I was talking to one of our teammates, Klepp, about the magic number thing, right? It's like that holds a lot of – there's intangibles in that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so the magic number for the Yankees right now to make the postseason is 2. But if they win and I guess everybody else loses, is that a wrap? Like, how does that work? Like, I know magic numbers sometimes are just – win 2 more games and you're in. But I know there's intangibles. Like, Tampa Bay has to – obviously, we play Tampa Bay. But, you know, you got Toronto, Boston, Seattle. They're all neck and neck.
I'm not sure what you're getting at. I think what you're trying to explain is, like, the magic number could – if it's 6 and the Yankees win and a team that they need to lose loses
– is that 2?
That's 2.
So the Yankees can win tonight and then certain teams lose tonight
The Yankees could clinch at least a second spot.
Right. Yes. Okay. Because there's only 3 games to play and they're up 2.
It's not like it's that crazy. It's like there's 1 series left.
That's
it. They could clinch tonight, or they play tonight. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So they could clinch tonight a playoff berth.
Unbelievable. Bro, they're hitting home runs, but they're like angrily hitting home runs. Like, these balls are flying off the charts. Like yesterday, again, playing softball, get the update on my phone, and it's Judge 455-foot home run. That's out of control. That's literally, I don't think it's landed yet. You know what I mean? Like, that's how far.
The lineup is in a good place right now.
Yeah.
For the first time since they won 13 in a row. They mm-hmm. really were reeling after that. Their bullpen is starting to come together really nicely. The Yankees are peaking at the right time. And dare I say, Aaron Boone.
Don't.
He's been making
don't,
some bad
don't dare I say anything about Aaron Boone right now.
I'm not going to sit here and act like I wasn't one of the guys that was talking a lot of shit about Boone.
We were firing him 2 months ago.
I wanted Boone fired, and honestly, I did say, I said, even if Aaron Boone won a World Series this year, there was a chance that the Yankees got rid of him. I think I'm kind of going to eat my words on that one. Even if he doesn't win the World Series, I don't see Boone getting fired.
Do you think it's because they're in this fight at the end? Like, that's all it takes? That's all it takes to keep your job is in the fight?
Well,
considering the Yankees as an organization has always pride themselves on just titles, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't like, oh, good job, gee golly, we'll get them next year. You know, every year the Yankees are expected to win the World Series. Every year. There was one year, I think 2 years ago or 3 years ago, where we called it a rebuilding year, and they still won 100 games.
So is there anything that you could say? I agree that there's been some situations where Boone has mismanaged games, but right. You could make the case that any manager has mismanaged games. It's baseball.
Sure, it's baseball. That's baseball, Susan.
Could you make the case that the Yankees would did Aaron Boone manage them out of a division title this year? I don't think so. I think Tampa Bay is just
played
really
that good.
So it's not like he cost them anything. Right now they're about to make the postseason. I think that's about as good as it was going to get with this roster. Tampa Bay is lighting it up this year. The pitching hasn't really been there. The lineup hasn't been consistent. Just now they're starting to get their feet under them with the health and things like that.
Yeah, so, and I think based off of the fact that Gerrit Cole pitched last night, he's in line to pitch that wild card game.
Of course.
Yeah, that's the guy. That's why you pay him $300+ million a year, or his contract is $300 million, and that's why he's in prime position to pitch that game, regardless of who the opponent is. And I think the Yankees just have to stay hot. I don't think they, you know, I would ideally, I mean, this is goes without saying, you sweep Tampa Bay. You know what I mean? You go in there and you beat the brakes off a Tampa Bay team. So then Tampa Bay, guess what? You're now on notice if the Yankees were to get in and wind up playing you somewhere down the line, either first, second round.
I mean, we're not even talking about we're about to play the Astros if we do win that game.
What?
Aren't we about to play the Astros? Aren't they the first seed?
Oh, my God. Wow, you're not so. Even – well, let's get there first. I want to don't count my chickens before they hatch. But, yeah, I mean, it's exciting. The Yankees are in it, and it's going to be down to the wire. So let's go Yanks tonight. But last night there was a football game to be played, and it was the Jacksonville Jaguars taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. And, of course, the Bengals with a walk-off, second walk-off field goal win of their season. They are now 3-1, Gooch. Like – before we get into the schematics of this game in particular, are the Bengals, like, when you look at the Bengals and you see them at 3-1, is this what we're seeing now? Like, is this the team that they're putting together some nice little offense here, and Joe Burrow is playing with some little swag, you know, and they're doing this without T. Higgins. Like, well, they're not even, and Uzuma is like,
look,
good Lord.
3-1 is 3-1.
You are what your record is? Is that what you're going with?
But they just almost lost a home game against the Jaguars. So they are 3-1, mm-hmm. So they are what their record says they are. They beat Pittsburgh on the road. It was on the road, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they beat Pittsburgh on the road, which was a big win for that franchise. Got a win under Joe Burrow's belt that, you know, some rookie quarterbacks or some quarterbacks in that division takes a long time for them to go into Pittsburgh and get a dub. So kudos to Joe Burrow. He's got that out of the way. I think that they're on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
They have confidence now because they have won some games, but I wouldn't say that the Bengals are by any stretch a playoff team yet. They're a beneficiary of having.
They're just in a really tough division. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
They're
in a tough division. Their offense is legit though. If they could keep Mixon healthy, and I know T. Higgins has been out for 2 games, but it didn't really matter. He's 1-2. They're 2-0 without him. They have the weapons. They have depth on offense. They're stopping the run for the most part. I think James Robinson
had himself a night.
Had a nice little night.
Scored. But, you know, he scored a couple times. That's what makes his.
I mean, he did have some yardage totals too.
Yeah, so. But his stat, his fantasy stat line was because he got in the
Bengals
end zone.
The real deal because they are the Bengals. But 3-1 is 3-1. Got to tip your hat there.
Flip side. The Jacksonville Jaguars now still winless in this season. They're 0-4. They did cover last night, which I know Scoop Espo, the resident house representative Jaguars fan of Chop Sports, was excited about that. The fact that they covered, you know what I mean? It's like the first time they've done that all year.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little disappointed because I don't – I also – no, never mind.
What?
I was looking at my graphic.
Oh.
But yesterday, I never actually made my pick. They were just AJ's put them all three Bengals, and I was just like, fuck it, I'm going to leave it.
You picked the Bengals.
Show me when.
Would you have, all right, truth be told.
I actually listened back.
Truth be told, would you have picked the Bengals? like in this situation, 7.5 Jaguars. Right,
well, here's
like,
here's the
I can't give you a win here, man.
There's a 0% chance that I would ever ask for the win. That would be the worst move by a male my age in history to go back and be like, no.
Give me that.
I did pick the Bengals in my survivor pool.
You did do that.
I was fucking
nervous.
And
you sweat that shit out to the very end. That's amazing. Only five people chose the Bengals last night. And I even said, I was talking to a couple of guys at softball game. I was like, there's people out there that took the Bengals in a survivor pool. And I'm just like, that's really putting some... Like, now you never have to choose the Bengals again. You used them. That was perfect.
It's like you're staring the Bills in the eyes at 17.5 point favorite. It's like everyone's taking the Bills. I agree. And, like, everyone will probably advance this week because there's some easy ones out there. Like, the Jets play this week.
The Texans
are playing the Bills. They're getting almost 48 points.
Right.
So there's some easy ones out there. But I feel like later on in the season, like, I did a little deep dive into the Survivor down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills are going to come in handy later on.
Yeah, you know, but I'm saying.
The Chiefs will come in handy later on.
Using the Bengals this early. I mean, that's
oh, it was great a great play. I rolled the dice.
You did roll the dice.
So, I didn't have Ashmeer Fit as like my second. I'm helping her out on her picks. So it's like,
oh, okay. So now you have to do a little deep dive. You give her the rub. Entries, yeah. I totally get it. So look, when you look at the Jaguars team now, obviously they lost this game. Trevor Lawrence doesn't turn the ball over. We questioned that yesterday. We said, all right, are the turnover woes going to go away? He did look better. Couple drops by James Robinson out of the backfield.
DJ Chark shattered his ankle.
What?
Fractured ankle right away, first quarter, out for
a
year.
I only watched the highlights, but like, because I was at softball. No.
So my 16-man number two receiver, which
LaVisca Chenault season.
I was already lacking major.
Marvin Jones Jr. season, yeah, all of a sudden.
Chark
sucked. Trevor Lawrence, based off of this game alone, you know, it takes now to the walk-off, down to the wire. They literally led the entire game until the last field goal. So they had this, not game in hand, but they had the lead the entire game. Do you feel like the Jaguars took a step forward in their pursuit for their first win? Like, I don't know their schedule upcoming, like, off the back of my hand, but, like, you know, do you think there's a possibility that the Jaguars now have this better team? Like, their defense actually played okay last night. I mean, I know they gave up some yards and some scores. They can't cover a tight end worth of shit. We saw that. But overall, you think the Jaguars took a step forward?
I don't.
You don't?
I don't. I think that they're going to be in this situation a lot where they might find themselves in some games, but on a game-to-game situation, you're not going to take anything from a loss going forward into another week against a team that's probably – they're out. The thing is, they're outmatched in every game.
Right.
So one game doesn't really have any bearing on the next. If anything, Urban Meyer really botched that end of that game by not – I'm not really sure exactly how it went down, but I know that there was a lot of people – all four Jags fans in the world were going crazy on Twitter.
All four, you said? Yeah. I'm just trying – Oh, man. Well, look, the Jaguars are, you know, who they are right now. They're 0-4. They're trying to find their first win. And I'm not sure if it'll come anytime soon. But I felt like they took a couple steps forward, Trevor Lawrence in particular. So anyway, so now it's that time. You know, after doing the standings update yesterday, I found it fantastic. You know, I found it fantastic that I'm going to bring it up right now. These are the standings after 1 week of or 3 weeks of football. Ready? Chris Gucci goes on a run last week, okay? And it was the weirdest. Everybody didn't know which way you were going because it was like, oh, I like this, so I'm going this way. And it actually paid off dividends. Like, you literally you gained 4 on me. You gained 2 on AJ.
You know,
and now after...
Dave, we call that riding the ship.
Riding the ship. Right. So
doing
now...
something outside the box to get my shit lined up, and now I will be full steam ahead.
Okay, so now you look at the standings. We're all deadlocked with 19 wins. You have a push, so I put you on the bottom, even though I think by, like I guess a tie would be better than a loss. You know what I'm saying? A push. So technically, maybe you're even in first, if you think about it, and me and AJ are trailing you by a half game.
Oh,
I don't know.
I'm 100% in first place. I'm looking at this right now, and I'm like, wait, what the fuck is going on?
This is why Dave doesn't do the graphics. But
I am throwing my challenge flag.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, this week it is betmgm.com. Go to chopsportsmedia.com. select, you know, click on the banner right there on the homepage of Jamie Foxx's Pretty Little Face. Make your picks either for or against us. We're not condoning that. We're experts. Clearly, we're all 10 games under 500 after three.
Well, going forward, I will.
Gooch finds himself with some confidence right now, a little bit of swag. But AJ not being here, he did send in his picks earlier today. So we'll definitely chime in with his picks as well. And so, yeah. So
on to it.
Yeah. It's game on, baby. Well, hold on. Let me pull up AJ's thing. There we go. I got my standings right there. We'll pull it up. Here we go. We're starting with the Washington football team against the Atlanta Falcons. Now, the Falcons are coming off their first win of the year with Koo's walk-off kick, walk-off win for that. And, of course, the Washington football team struggling a little bit with Taylor Heineke. They don't get a win last week. They are 1-2. So both teams kind of reeling right now. The spread is 1.5. This game is in Atlanta. I'll read off AJ's pick first and then we'll debate. So in this game, which is totally out of order as I look at his picks, he's calling this a lock, actually. In parentheses, he said, lock it up, the Washington football team to go on the road as their favorite on the road by 1.5. He likes Washington. Gooch, what say you?
I do like Washington as well because I don't know if it's just the way I feel about Antonio Gibson and needing to get going, and I'm basing it all on that, where I just think there's been a game. There needs to be a game for Washington where they could get rolling, and going to Atlanta, I think Atlanta is arguably the worst team in the NFC right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody at Detroit? You know,
Atlanta's really bad, and I've been saying that.
So I just think Washington's outmatches them in certain situations. I think Ridley will have a nice day. Washington's secondary has been completely...
All of a sudden, Washington's defense is not what everybody touted they were.
No, it's not, but the talent is there up front. So you got to imagine after a while, there's going to be something there. They got to get going somehow. Like, Chase Young's too talented.
I agree.
Here or there. Hopefully, this is the game for Washington.
So you're taking the Skins? Washington football team? You're going with them? All right. I, too, am going to take the Washington football team. I think that Atlanta is a very bad football team. I think the Giants really blew their chance to get their first win of the season last week. They had that game pretty much not in hand, but at least they were competitive all the way throughout. I'll leave you in charge of the comments in case if anything, you know, pops up, because I'll rock around with these graphics or whatever. But, yeah, so we're all in unison here. The Washington football team should take care of business in Atlanta until Atlanta shows us something. You know, people are hard pressed to pick the Falcons. Matt Ryan looks completely out of sorts right now. So that's why I'm going to ride with Taylor Heineke on the road. A lot of people, you know, there is a Taylor Heineke fan club out there, and I think he gets it done. So moving on. Now, look at the size of this spread. Look at the size of that ham hock. This is an NFL football game with a team that is favored by 17.5 points. This, I feel like, is a little ridiculous. You are an NFL team. Now, the Texans have played teams hard. You know, they seem not to give up. But if this is going to be Davis Mills show again, which I think it is, you know, like, I don't foresee them winning, obviously, but can they stay up in this 17.5 point spread? This is a little insane, but I'm looking at it and it looks like AJ is going to ride the Mills Mafia, not the Bills Mafia. AJ is going with the big ass spread of 17.5. He's taking the Texans. Gooch, are you riding the? First of all, I'll ask the question before you pick. Is this spread too nuts for an NFL game, or is this really what the Vegas really thinks of the Bills right now to beat the brakes off the Texans?
It's a combination of a few things. They're just trying to scare anybody potentially to take from taking Buffalo, which they're not going to scare me enough. I'm going to pick Buffalo in this one because the Texans are 2-1 against the spread. I just don't see them going to 3-1 as bad as they are. Maybe, but could you imagine the Houston Texans 3-1 in anything? You know, like,
no, I can't.
Rather than that. So 17.5 is a lot, but the Bills have been dropping 35, 40 the last 2 weeks. Their offense is rolling. There's a lot of guys on that team that are getting involved. Sanders, Dawson Knox, both running backs are actually clicking. And Josh Allen, you know, is there really any answer on the Texans? What are they going to do offensively? They're going to run Mark Ingram 26 times for 17 yards?
So you think the Bills cover this big number?
I think the Bills drop a good 40 on them. I don't think the Texans are dropping 20 on anybody.
To me, this is the NFL, man. I'm sorry. They're professionals. I'm riding with the Texans here because of that spread. This is the NFL. This isn't college where you have these 30-point spreads and stuff, and they're warranted because college teams score 60 points whenever they feel like it. This right here is screaming for people to take the Texans because of the point spread, and I'm going to ride with that because, again, I could see this game going 30 to 17, you know, that's only a 13-point win. You know what I'm saying? So there's a chance that all this is going to take, honestly, and you know this to be true, is one Bills touchdown, really. You know, let's say the Bills, I mean, not one Bills touchdown, one Texans touchdown. If the Texans score a touchdown early and it's like 7-3, they're up, you know, like that flips the entire thing on its ear.
Yeah, but the point spread is 17.5 for a real good reason.
I know Vegas
be close
has
either way.
They make these spreads based off
the point spread is going to be close either way. Buffalo is going to pound the Texans. It's just a matter of are the Texans going to quit or are they going to backdoor cover. I don't think it's going to be a competitive game in any stretch. Not in the first quarter. Not in any quarter.
All right. You're riding with the Bills Mafia here in week number 4. We're moving on to a division game. The Detroit Lions on the road against the Bears. The Bears are in complete disarray as far as a quarterback is concerned. Justin Fields obviously is the future there, right? He's obviously the guy to lead the surge going forward. Now, getting home, is this the get-right game that Justin Fields might need if he's the quarterback? There's still no definitive answer who Nagy is going to throw out there. But now, have you seen enough from the Lions as far as their fight is concerned? We'll start with AJ, who is taking the Lions +3 here. So he's taking the road team. I guess he thinks the Bears are still in a little bit of a funk, not knowing which direction they're going, which way is up. They don't really know. But I'll throw it to you. Do you think if Justin Fields, or no matter who the quarterback is, do the Bears cover this number and get the win? There's pushability here.
I think right now the narrative around the media and the NFL is that Nagy is on the hot seat, and
rightfully so. Yeah,
he belongs on the hot seat. But because the what you just said, like Detroit, they got fight, and just Detroit has looked good.
So I mean, they lost to the Ravens based on a 66-yard field goal.
But let's make no mistake about Marquise Brown dropped 3 touchdowns in that game. Like, that game shouldn't have been close. Detroit fucked up a lot in the secondary. Mm-hmm. Justin Fields is coming off a game where he looked so bad, but that was against Cleveland, where their defensive line was so good. They had 9 sacks. I don't see Detroit doing that. If Justin Fields gets the start, which I believe he's going to, they're just not going to come out and say it yet.
Yeah, which
I don't think
I don't
Dalton
know why.
Is ready. Foles isn't even in the mix. That's just Wolf tickets. If Dalton was ready, he would be starting, but it's going to be Justin Fields again. And Detroit is still Detroit. Going on the road, Chicago's got some talent on the offensive side of the ball. Eventually, you would think Montgomery, Allen Robinson.
These guys got to get going. Right.
I think Detroit's the perfect game. I'm going to go with Chicago.
Yeah, this is a get-right game for Chicago. I think the Bears are a little bit better than what people think on defense, at the very least. I've always liked the Bears' defense. I think they're an aggressive bunch. I think the Jared Goff is going to struggle on the road. I think that the Lions have definitely shown fight, but as Gooch just said, you know, that team should not have been that close in that Ravens game. Give me the Bears all day long. I like the Bears by a touchdown or more, actually. So me and you are riding the Bears as AJ rides the Lions. Now, we move it on to my beloved Dallas Cowboys hosting the Carolina Panthers, the undefeated Carolina Panthers.
Both 3-0 against the spread. Someone's O has got to
I guess
go.
When it comes to gambling purposes, yes, they've definitely helped out some people make some coin by beating the spread multiple times. But now I'll start with AJ, who has sent in his pick, and he is taking the Dallas Cowboys -4.5. Thank you, AJ. You're finally coming around and seeing the light. I will give it to Gooch. The number is 4.5. Obviously, the Carolina Panthers come in with according to some, the number one ranked defense in football. So that they're not the Philadelphia Eagles, as the Cowboys just beat the shit out of them handily. You know, the Carolina Panthers are coming in with Chuba Hubbard as their running back, not Christian McCaffrey. It is Sam Darnold. He has played comparable football. They have beat some bad teams, but I'll leave it up to you to make that pick first. Everybody kind of knows where I'm going with it, so I'll throw it to you.
Yeah, I'm just not liking the 4.5. If it was 3, I would probably go with Dallas, but I just don't. I think right now it's the same thing with the narrative. Everybody's all in on Dallas now.
For now, yeah.
You know, and like rightfully so, Dallas is playing really well. I think Dallas could easily come away with a W and still not cover, you know, a late field goal. There's going to be a really good game, I think. So laying anything more than a field goal is hard for me. So I'm going to go with Carolina, but it's going to be with some tentativeness for sure.
All right, you'll take the Panthers. And as far as I'm concerned, I'll probably be previewing this game a lot more with the Jersey Boys podcast and the Blogging the Boys podcast network with my boys Brett and Keith. But when I look at this game on the surface, the Dallas Cowboys coming off 2 straight wins now. It's been a while since they've had a string of wins like this. I believe it was 2018 when they started off 3-0, and I was booking my flight to Miami thinking, oh, this is a Super Bowl bound team. And then the defense turned out to be who they are. This defense in particular is a lot different. Trayvon Diggs is something special. He's becoming a can't-throw-on-his-side type corner. I also believe that the pass rush with Micah Parsons as an edge rusher while DeMarcus Lawrence is hurt has been more effective. Sam Darnold does have some wheels, per se. I'm not saying he's a fast quarterback, but he could probably get out of there just as easily as Jalen Hurts could, but then Jalen Hurts couldn't. So now it makes me believe that they're going to collapse this pocket, they're going to force some bad throws, and the Dallas Cowboys will probably once again have another game with a takeaway. I like the Cowboys in this one. I don't know if it's going to be much of an offensive onslaught. If I had to pick a score, I'd say like 27-17. The Cowboys get this one. So they'll cover the number. Give me the Cowboys. So
find
now,
out a lot about Dallas this week.
Yeah, we're going to find out. Yeah, this is one of those, like, I would say that the get-right game was Philly, you know, and now it's, can they stay right, you know?
Like right now, everybody's believing in Dallas a little bit more so than they have in any time in the last maybe 5 years, 3 to 5 years. So
it's been a while.
If they come out and dud, then it's going to be like, oh, is this what we're getting out of them? But if they come out and shout out to
Emmanuel Acho and all these guys and Stephen A. Smith and guys like that who have completely dogged the Dallas Cowboys for a long, long time. And they've dogged Dan Orlovsky. They've all dogged Dak and saying that he's not a good quarterback and he's not a leader and he's not expert, you know. All of you are eating your words right now, and you're flipping the script, and you're looking for those likes, guys. This is insanity to me. Acho put out a tweet today saying, like, oh, it's so great to see how much the Cowboy fans love Dak Prescott. You know, oh, it's warranted. It's this, that, and a third. This guy just said he was going to, you know, they still wouldn't do much after a win against L.A. So, I don't know. It bothers me. That's the mainstream media for you. But anyway, let's move it on. Let's move it on to the Miami Dolphins hosting the 0-3, who are desperate for a win, Indianapolis Colts. The number is 2, as far as the Dolphins are favored at home, as they should be. Usually, and I've said this yesterday or a couple days ago, that when you're the home team, you should get 3, right, just for being home. So maybe Vegas thinks this game is going to be a little closer than people think. Carson Wentz has played really bad football over the course of the first couple weeks of this season. I know I'll go over to AJ first. He's picking the Dolphins to win this game at home, -2. Gooch, what say you, bro? Because, I mean, to me, I feel like this is kind of a no-brainer. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. What do you got?
I like the Colts. I think they're going to run the ball well. They have one of the better offensive lines in football still. They just haven't really been able to put it together yet. Miami doesn't do much on offense. Like, I don't see anywhere where they're going to really present any issues. They have good receivers, but Brissett, I don't think he's going to turn the ball over at all, but he just can't really stretch the field like any of these young quarterbacks, or even a Tua, which their offense isn't really that efficient with Tua.
Right.
So it's not like Miami is really lacking on offense, but, or I should say without Tua. But the Colts, they're 0-3. I think that they're a better team than that. They just ran into a couple teams that just are a better team than them. Miami is not. I got to go with the Colts on this one.
All right, you're taking the Colts. Well, I'm going to go and ride with the Finns on this one for the sole purpose of I think that Dolphins defense is good, and I think Carson Wentz is that bad. So that I tried to get on this Wentz train when he left Philadelphia because, I mean, obviously you hate him because he's an Eagle at one point, right? But then he gets to the Colts, and I'm like, well, maybe he can succeed, right? I think he's kind of showing that he's just, like, he had that MVP run, then he gets hurt, right? And now he's just become a walking chandelier. Like, you can't go near him without him, you know, grabbing something else when he's on the ground, you know? He's getting knocked around. The Colts offensive line is supposed to be, you know, the tout of this, you know, that's what they were built around.
It's going to be the running game that does it, though.
I don't know, man. I can't get behind anything led by Carson Wentz right now. I like Frank Reich. I like that team as a whole, and I like their defense. I like a lot of things about the Colts. I just don't like them in this game. I don't know. On the road in Miami, the weather's going to be nice for them. Like, it's just, I don't know, man. I like the Fins here, so we'll try with the Fins.
It's a tough one for me.
It is, and it's yeah, definitely one of the tougher games to pick. The Browns is the Browns, and they're going on the road against the Minnesota Vikings, who are just coming off their first win of the season. It's been, you know, tough sledding for the Vikings so far. They get their win last week handily, beating the Seahawks. So that was relatively a good game. I'm looking for his pick here, and it's the Browns and the Vikings. Okay, so AJ is going with the Cleveland Browns here on the road in Minnesota. The Browns are coming off a very dominating win last week, when they beat the brakes off the Bears, and they just, you know, sacked. I think they just actually recorded another sack as we record this. You know what I mean? That's how bad the offensive line was. I think Kirk Cousins is more seasoned as far as getting rid of the ball when he needs to, and he has Dalvin Cook, I think, coming back. I'm not sure about that. If not, then it's Madison, but Madison ran the rock well. But AJ's rocking with the Browns. He thinks the offense is going to stay the way they're staying against the Minnesota Vikings. You're an NFC North guru, obviously, Gooch. Do the Vikings pose a threat to a Cleveland Browns team?
I think they do pose a threat because the Vikings are really complete on offense outside of the quarterback position. I'm back and forth on this game. I honestly, originally, my gut instinct is to go with Minnesota. But then when I really think about it, and I'm not doing any deep dive on analytics, I just look at Kirk Cousins is playing really good right now. And it's only going to take one dud game.
It's fall from grace.
Fall from grace. And Kirk Cousins, he's playing really good, and they're still only 1-2. Like, Kirk Cousins is having a pretty good season to this point. The Browns' defense is just going to, I think, eat him up a little bit. Kirk Cousins under pressure is a bad equation for the Vikings' offense, as talented as they are on that side of the ball. I think their defense is a little bit better than they've played as well. But the Browns, what they bring to the table is they're just relentless with the running game.
And they got a 1-2 punch like nobody else. Like, the best 1-2
Odell
punch in the league.
Odell actually looked good, as crazy it is to say.
I know. He's
looked
finally on the field.
I'm sure he'll be hurt by the second quarter, but Odell looked good. Baker Mayfield has been playing well. He's like, for whatever reason, I hate him, but I watch him, I'm like, damn. Like,
those commercials are so damn funny.
He's such a dork. Stop. You said they're funny?
They're funny.
No.
I find them really funny.
No.
What, no? All right. But are you taking the Browns?
You're cringe. I'm taking the Browns.
I'm going to ride with Baker Mayfield one more week. I think Kirk Cousins, again, when you beat a Seattle team, that's one thing. And when you go head-to-head with Russell Wilson, I think that's something to be said for it. And I think that the Vikings can win specific games, right? But this one is not catered to the Vikings. I think the pass rush is going to be too much for Kirk Cousins to even settle back there. They might find some success in, like, running some draws, you know, with their running game, whether it be Madison or Cook, doesn't matter. I think they're both comparable running backs when it comes to that strategy of play. But give me the Browns here. They're 3-0 against the spread. I think they're definitely cruising in the right direction right now. They're going to keep rolling. That division is going to be tough down the road, especially with Cincinnati playing well. And now they, like, imagine that. 4 weeks into the season, and you got to compete with not only Baltimore, Pittsburgh's going to, you know, they're kind of, but, like, then you have the Cincinnati Bengals to deal with. So the division's hard. These are the games you got to win, and I think the Browns get it done on the road as they are road favorites, which is always kind of, I always kind of weird out with the road favorites, but this one's warranted.
There's been a lot so far this
season. There has been. Yeah, it has been. Moving on. The Saints and the New York Football Giants. The Giants, obviously, yesterday or last week, we got a little bit of a surprise pick here by AJ, but the Giants can't get out of their own way right now offensively. Their defense is not as good as what I thought they were going to be. They had the game not in hand against Atlanta, but they just couldn't put the team away. I blame Jason Garrett. I blame that their offensive play calling is no good. Daniel Jones is an okay quarterback. He can get things done. He's got the talent around him. But now AJ, because of everything I'm saying, this is the New Orleans Saints, and I have not read anything about this, but I'm pretty sure this is the first Saints game at the Dome. So they're going to be playing. The energy is going to be high octane, but AJ thinks that the Giants are going to be good enough to cover that number, and then he's getting 7.5 to pick the Giants on the road. He's going with the Giants. What about you, Gooch? I mean, Winston has been like Jekyll Hyde right now. We don't know what we're seeing out of him yet, you know. So where do you got the Saints? They're 2-1 going into this one, and it's their home opener, like I just said.
I don't think the Saints are good enough yet to be favored by more than a touchdown. The Giants have played well in some in certain situations, more so, I guess, defensively. They've shot themselves in the foot in the Washington game. They were right in that game, so they could have won that game. They, same thing with Atlanta. Now, I know those are a lot worse teams than the Saints, and they're going on the road, first time in the dome for the Saints this year, so they will be there will be some energy. But the Giants, over dating back to last year, they just lost a lot of close games. I'm hoping the trend continues, and I'm going to go with the Giants. I do think the Giants are going to lose. I'm just saying that, that 7.5 is a little high for me.
The last time the New Orleans Saints reopened the Dome, they had some of the most historic performances of all time after Hurricane, I believe it was Katrina. They came back, blocked punt, you know what I mean? Like all this crazy nuts stuff. That city is going to reunite. That city is going to be rocking, and I don't foresee the Giants coming close. I got a Kamara-type game. I got a Kamara-type game against that defense where Kamara can score 3 touchdowns, whether on the ground or through the air. I think the Saints actually cover this number and get the job done and move to 3-1. Yeah, and the Giants
does worry me, like what you just said. Like, there's a chance that Kamara eventually, this one of these games, he's going to have like his 3-touchdown game where he just takes over. It could be this one, and that's why I'm like a little apprehensive. But still, the 0.5 point,
they just haven't shown you enough. That's all. They haven't shown you enough.
6.5, I will go all over the Saints right now.
Yeah. So I'm taking the Saints. I'm the only one to ride with the Saints. The lone shark there. Lone dog, whatever the hell you call it, werewolf, whatever the NFL Network does. What do they do?
Lone wolf.
Is it lone wolf pick? I don't know. I don't either. But anyway, here we go now. There's another one. The hard number to pick. It's the New York Jets. They are hosting the Tennessee Titans. The Jets are 7-point dogs at home. I know me and AJ have been riding the Jets for the first 3 weeks. They're 0-3. They're 0-3 against the spread. Nothing is going right for the New York Jets. However, AJ Bascone, betting with his heart, he's taking the New York Jets plus the 7. I don't know if you're going to find yourself hard-pressed to do this, Gooch, to take the Jets here at home with a relatively banged-up Titans team as far as the receiving core is concerned. Where are you going with this one? Are you riding the Jets at all?
No.
Okay.
I don't even have to break it down. Derrick Henry, no.
Derrick Henry has a chance. I'm also not. It's done. 3 weeks is enough for me to not believe in a team that can keep this close. Derrick Henry's going to have a lot of success in this game. It doesn't matter who's catching the ball for the Tennessee Titans. The Jets, until they get right, I'm not picking you guys. I'm sorry. And I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Zach Wilson. I'm a fan of Robert Saleh. I love those guys. I think there's a lot of potential there with the future of this team. But they have not showed me enough. They have not showed me enough to ever pick these guys again until it's absolutely necessary. So, all right.
We got a fantasy question.
Oh, what do we? Where do we got?
Washington defense versus the Eagles or Panthers D versus them boys?
Nah, it's my boy Silva.
Honestly, it's a no-brainer. I'm going with Washington. You drafted them a month ago to be your defense. I know that they haven't panned out, but I do think that they have a game in them very soon. Hopefully it's against the Eagles this week. That said, I'm curious to know what defenses are out there as free agents. If you want to drop those in there, I'll maybe could give you some better advice.
All right.
Because
all
I'm
right.
sure there's a stream available.
All right. So before we get to the rest of the slate, we're going to take a break and pay some bills. And when we come back, the rest of Week 4's picks. You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now. All right, we are back from break. We want to thank, of course, Absolute Eyewear for being loyal sponsors and advertisers with Chop Sports. Now, a game in which, you know, the Eagles obviously coming off the trouncing of the Cowboys. Let's see. I'm looking for the pick that he's got here. I don't see this game. Oh, actually, no, I do see this game. Okay, so I got AJ's pick. So the Eagles are coming off of their really bad loss against the Dallas Cowboys on Monday night in front of the whole world, just to get embarrassed. And the Chiefs are coming off their own version of embarrassment because I feel like a horse's patoot because I picked the Chiefs to just
20-0
run the entire table this year. Like 17-0 regular season, run through the playoffs. I'm eating those words completely, and I'm looking at the Chiefs like, okay, they're still the Chiefs. They're still high-powered. They still have Patrick Mahomes, but the defense is a little less desirable than what I thought. AJ is riding with the Philadelphia Eagles at home to be the home dogs. They're 7-point home dogs. This is the second time this has happened this week alone. So he's taking the Philadelphia Eagles. What say you, Gooch? Because this one, the line is 7. Yeah, the Chiefs are pissed.
I'm definitely not taking the Eagles here. But just to fix up that question Jamie Silverberg asked about the fantasy defense, Washington is not playing the Eagles. They're playing the Falcons.
Oh, so then so you're definitely taking the Washington. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, as we're going over this game, I'm like, wait a minute.
That's not right.
So, all right. So you're taking the Chiefs.
Because the Chiefs are angry and they have playoff experience. The Eagles are... They might be angry, but there's really nothing that they're going to be able to do to stop the Chiefs. I look for the Chiefs to score like 40 in this one at least.
So yeah.
There's going to be a lot of points going up. The Eagles don't have what it takes to keep up with them, even in the slightest bit.
No.
I don't care about the defense.
No. I after what we saw against the Dallas Cowboys, like, are we seeing that good of a team in the Dallas Cowboys? Are we seeing that bad of a team in the Philadelphia Eagles? Those questions still remain.
Well, like, the Chiefs' defense is playing really bad, but the Eagles' offensive line is done again.
They're completely disarray. So. Right. So the defensive line for the Chiefs should feast. That defense should do well. But I'm looking at Patrick Mahomes, and I'm looking at a very – chip on the shoulder type performance right now where everybody's kind of not writing them off at all. Don't tell I'm not going that far. I'm just thinking that the Kansas City Chiefs are pissed off right now. And that's
you saw what Dalton Schultz did to the Eagles defense.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine what Travis Kelce is going to do?
Oh my God. So we're riding the Chiefs with that big number and AJ is actually riding the Philadelphia Eagles, man. Yeah, so I don't know if that shot that he took yesterday. Maybe he is trying to separate himself, but we'll see. A very big game. I'm thinking this is probably the game of the week as far as matchups are concerned. I would be hard pressed to say that there's any game that kind of holds a candle to this one. But we're gonna go with the Los Angeles Rams hosting the Arizona Cardinals. Both teams coming in 3-0. Somebody's O has got to go, and we start with AJ, who is picking the Rams in this one. So he's going with the Rams, going with the home team. What we've seen out of Kyler Murray is something special so far. We've definitely seen him play MVP type ball, right? But the Rams seem to be the team to beat right now. Both sides of the ball, they're flying high. Stafford's having the best time of his life right now with that team that surrounds him. McVay, my God, I've never seen so much energy out of a head coach. And I know some people are kind of tired of that shtick where he's young and he's energetic, but bro, he ran down to the tunnel after DeSean Jackson's long catch last week. Like, he is so in on this team, and I said that this team would be one of the teams that are in the NFC title game, and I think AJ even picked them to win like 15 games or something like that. So like it's a well-rounded team. AJ's taking the Rams. I'll even go before you on this one. I'm going to take the Rams here until they lose, right? And that's what I said last week about the Bucs. I said, I'll keep taking the Bucs until they lose a game. Now they lost the game. Now I'm going to question it. But the Rams are just that team right now. You agree?
I do. The Rams, I'm going to go with the Rams for the same reason as you, because I just haven't seen anything out of the Rams to lead me to think that they're not going to be able to get this one done.
Right.
Hopkins isn't right now, and I think – he's going to be a non-factor because you combine the fact that he's not really right and you have Ramsey covering him. So outside of that, Rondale Moore is a good secondary piece, but he doesn't play enough right now to really make as big of an impact as I think they need him to make.
Yeah.
I'm not a believer in their coach as well as they've been playing. Kyler Murray's legit. Don't get me wrong, but he's going to be on his horse this one because they're going to be after him.
Aaron Donald, everybody's going to be clogging up that middle.
The Rams are just clicking on all cylinders right now, offensively, defensively. I think that last year the Cardinals started off really strong and then fizzled out. Maybe they're a better team this year. I don't believe in them as much as a lot of people do. I'm going with the Rams. The Rams might beat them up.
I got that sense too. Cooper Kupp is like, wow. Like, that kid just continues to wow everybody as one of the premier receivers in football right now.
And I think McVay is looking at this game as a challenge as far as the coaching style.
Kingsbury, where, right.
Know, the run and gun, whatever they got going on between those guys. I feel like there's a little rivalry.
I agree. All right. So now, speaking of the NFC West, we're staying out in the NFC West. So both NFC West teams are actually playing each other in divisional games this week as the San Francisco 49ers get back home after blowing their game against the Green Bay Packers, and then it'll be taking on the Seattle Seahawks, who are probably the biggest surprise 1-2 team in the NFL right now, considering how much, you know, how good they play. There is push potential in this game. AJ starting it off, taking the home team. He thinks the 49ers bounce back, and he's taking the 49ers. Gooch, you saw the 49ers thoroughly last week, and I talked to your brother last night at softball thoroughly about the San Francisco 49ers, along with Bobby, our pitcher. These guys are all 49er fans. They're all calling for Trey Lance. Like, it's just like you lose one game, and the world's, you know, crumbling around you. Jimmy G, to me, hasn't played bad. You know what I mean? He just – the 49ers did the old – leave too much time on the clock for Aaron Rodgers last week. They had that game won. You know what I mean? So they're back home. They're playing in Seattle. Seattle reeling after a pretty crappy loss to the Minnesota Vikings last week. Do you think they get right in this one at home?
Yeah, I think Seattle is desperate to not drop to 1-3, especially in the division that they play in with the teams that they got there with, you know, two undefeated teams. And this is a division game. If there's a game that I'm taking the money line, it's this one. I think Seattle's going to win this game outright. The 49ers just haven't been able to put together a complete game yet this season. First half against Detroit, they run it up. Second half, they come all the way back on Detroit, backdoor covers. Week two, Philly, that game Philly had pretty much in hand in the first half. They just couldn't score, but they dominated both sides of the ball early. There was no point scored. Second half, San Fran kind of, you know, used their experience and put Philly away. The Green Bay game, they played like shit, I thought, the whole time. First half, they were given some gifts. Pass interference in the second half was a gift. They end up taking a lead. So they played a good second half, but just still couldn't get it done when it mattered defensively. I think the 49ers, there's a little bit of wolf tickets surrounding them right now. Jimmy G isn't that good. Seattle's 1-2, but they lost a really tough game to the Titans where that game
last second field goal.
So it's a game of inches. Seattle isn't a 1-3 team, so I just can't see it happening.
It's exactly why I'm taking the Seahawks in this one. I can't picture a Pete Carroll-led Seahawks team with Russell Wilson as your quarterback to fall to 1-3. Not this time. And just like you mentioned before, the San Francisco 49ers haven't really exploded off the charts yet. You know what I mean? And I don't know if they have the capabilities to do so. All their running backs are banged up.
Question marks surrounding.
Right.
Ayuk, I mean, hasn't been what they drafted him.
Not at all.
Debo is killing it. Kittle is not.
Is very quiet right now. And he's falling behind the Kelseys and the Wallers and the Dalton Schultzes of the world. But like, Kittle is supposed to be your best player and a game changer, and he hasn't changed anything yet. So until he does that, I keep riding on that one. Until somebody shows me something, I find myself hard to pick the 49ers in this one. I'm going to take Seattle only for the sole purpose. His name is Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited. Like, I can't foresee them going 1-3. I just can't. And I, you know what's funny? Every time next week when we're doing the standings and we listen back to these shows, right? How funny is it sometimes you're like, there's no way, I can't.
Speaking with such confidence about something that's completely
right. I'm like, I can't see Seattle. And then they get the doors blown off. I'm like, okay, cool. So that worked out well. So anyway, moving on. Another really good game here in the AFC. It is the Baltimore Ravens traveling to the thin air of the Denver Broncos. The Broncos are favored by 1 at home. And I'm looking. This is actually, AJ's got him as a pick 'em, but I'm going to say that he's going to have to just eat the 1 here.
When it's minus 1, it's a pick 'em anyway.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, what's he going to do, push? You can't win or lose. You can only push if it's the other way. So, yes.
Very true. Okay, that makes sense. Anyway, he's taking the Denver Broncos. He thinks Teddy Two Gloves is going to continue his ways, and he's going to go in the Broncos, who I thought we were all on the same wavelength when we were talking about the Broncos in our season predictions, that this team was just like, we didn't know enough, you know, like their defense was going to be okay. Like, what were their, like, we're thinking.
We had
Drew Lock starting.
Some of all parts. We didn't know what the quarterback situation was.
We had Drew Lock starting. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, Teddy Two Gloves, Teddy H2O, Teddy Bridgewater, he's playing good football. He's taking the Broncos to go 4-0 against the Baltimore Ravens. Now, the Ravens, on the other hand, you know, they are still the high-powered offense that they are. Lamar Jackson is still playing out of his mind as far as on the ground and finding. And if it's not for a couple drops, he lights up the Lions last week. You know what I mean? So there are they might have gotten that win last week with the 66-yard field goal out of Justin Wristbands Tucker. But, like, I feel like this game in particular is going to show you who the Broncos are more than it's going to show you who we already know the Ravens are. Where do you got this game? Because I'm leaning one way.
I like the Ravens in this one because I think they almost blew that game last week, and that was the wake-up call that they kind of needed.
Yeah.
Denver is not going to be an easy game to go win, but I do believe in Lamar Jackson to go in there and be able to create some situations that other quarterbacks wouldn't be able to create with the pass rush that Denver brings to the table. I think Denver's secondary has been playing decent, but like we've said, they haven't played anybody yet.
My boy Patrick Surtain Jr.
Yeah, they haven't but they haven't played anybody yet.
Exactly.
The Ravens' offense is really hard to digest. You can't really break it down. Like when you think about Tyson Williams played out of his mind, Latavius, but they don't really have any one.
They didn't have a lead
running back. There's no guy on that team that I believe in as far as handing the ball off 15 times a game. There's no one. Like, you almost need an injury to take place to one of these other guys so someone can get the reins. But
Bateman on his way back. He was activated yesterday off the injury reserve. I don't know if he's going to play this week. I highly doubt it. But the Ravens might be getting some pieces back and make that offense just a little bit better.
I just think it's Lamar Jackson in this one.
I think so, too. I think that this game in particular, when you kick a game-winning field goal like that, that will propel you. And the first thing, and I don't take too much into consideration of, like, post-game interviews or anything like that, but there was a line. I think Hollywood Brown or somebody went live on the plane on the way back, right, from that win. He
shouldn't do anything.
Well, he wasn't. It was somebody else in his face, right? Like, and the first thing, you know, whoever was live or whatever got in Lamar Jackson's face and he was like, you got that dub. His first response was, we got to get better. And I think that they get better here. And I think the Broncos are kind of exposed as a middle of the pack team, not undefeated. So give me the Ravens on the road in Denver. All right. Time to break it down a little bit because
I never even changed the point spread from the last week.
And you left the score up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I never change the point spread, and that's what I do. I go in and I adjust.
Oh, okay. Well, it doesn't matter. Well, we have the point spread here, according to BetMGM.
Is all day the Packers
is minus 6.5. Minus 6.5. The Packers are favored at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So yeah, pay no mind to the score in the middle of the screen. 6.5. The numbers there. The Packers are home. AJ is riding the hot hand. He thinks Aaron Rodgers is going to do his thing. The Pittsburgh Steelers are kind of reeling right now. They have not won a football game, which is crazy to me. Wait, hold on. Timeout. Hold on.
Yeah, that's
they beat the Bills.
Right.
They beat the Bills. I'm sorry.
I told you this isn't right.
That's okay. Sorry. 1-2. So 1-2, the Pittsburgh Steelers going into Green Bay. What say you, Gooch? Break this one down. AJ's riding with the Packers.
Big Ben is too fat. Their offensive line stinks. And the Packers are better. 6.5, that's a little scary to me. They want you to bet Green Bay. I wish they would just make it 7, because then I would be like, oh, Green Bay's going to fucking kill them. But at 6.5 is like, I feel like they're begging people to take the Packers in this one. But Aaron Rodgers has been playing too good. I think T.J. Watt is still banged up. I know that we're getting our linemen back, so that's a bonus.
Is it Bakhtiari?
No.
Oh. When's he back?
Week 5.
Okay.
Week 6. I think it's...
Oh, Pup. That's right.
Yeah. IR.
Whatever. 3-week IR then. Okay, yeah. Fine.
But yeah, the Steelers suck right now.
Offensive
line is bad.
Great analysis.
Yeah, Big Ben can't get out of his own way.
Yeah. I agree.
And I'm a Packer fan, so...
Oh, there you go. That's the way the cookie crumbles. I, too, will be taking the Green Bay Packers here at home at Lambeau against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, the Steelers are just in complete disarray. We don't know if Deontay Johnson's going to play yet.
He's playing.
That's what I think so, too. I'll put him back in my starting lineup because the Packers are a little susceptible to a middle-of-the-pack defense right now. I'm not going to say the Packers have a great defense right now because they don't, and we've seen that. We've seen them give up some big chunk plays. But I think it's Aaron Rodgers' time right now. And I think that, you know, after that first loss where everybody was like, oh, my God, what just happened? This is the kind of team that can roll off 16 wins in a row when it comes to, like, that's the kind of quarterback that Rodgers is. He just pisses you off if you're not a fan of Rodgers. And if you are a fan of Rodgers, you know how to, you know, R-E-L-A-X. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just relax. It's the Packers. You know what I mean?
I can't see Green Bay losing this one.
No, I don't either. Game of the week as far as that's not right either. But anyway, we'll hide that one. But it is the New England Patriots. No, that is right. I'm sorry. Right. What the hell am I talking about?
I'm like,
no, you're definitely right. I don't know. I'm losing my mind today. It's Friday. It's time for a beer or two or three or four. All right. So the New England Patriots, they can't seem to win at Foxborough, but they're hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Tampa Bay, the Tampa Bay Gronkaneers. The Tom Brady is coming home. The prodigal son has returned. This is the game of the week, man. I'm telling you, this is going to be exciting to watch. Hopefully, you know, both of our teams, you know, the Cowboys and Packers, get their dubs, right? So we can kind of go into this game, watch it, embrace it, enjoy it.
Let's go Pats, baby.
So there's
big Belichick fan.
There's a dog, and there's a dog here in the Patriots. This is the third 7-point dog of the week. And AJ is riding with Mac Jones and saying that they're going to cover that number. They're going to be fine or at least keep it close. Now, Tampa Bay off a loss. This is where I kind of like, okay, like Brady's now once again pissed off, you know, like, and I don't know if you want to mess around with a pissed off Tom Brady going back home to where he won 74 Super Bowls with the New England Patriots. He's a god out there in New England. My first question before you pick the game, because AJ's riding with the Patriots, before you pick the game, fan reaction. He runs out of that tunnel, does his let's go thing, right? The let's go, right? And he's yelling.
First of all, there is no such thing as a Patriot fan anymore. They're all Bucks fans, so they're going to blow Tom Brady as soon as he leaves the tunnel. They're
Do you think they cheer him?
Oh, hell yes, bro. It's Tom fucking Brady. The Patriots are going to boo to stop. Stop. They'd kill their own child for Tom Brady to come back for one game.
Now, I will. Now, another thing before the prediction, which I think you're leaning towards the Patriots because of the number, but before we get to the prediction, another thing, right?
I know you're not taking the Patriots.
Listen, just hold on. Hold on. So, after the game, win or loss, no matter where it goes, do they meet at the 50 and shake hands and embrace Belichick and Brady?
No fucking way. I hope not.
Can you imagine? That would put all the storylines to bed, really.
No. I'm,
it would be done. No, like, shake hands. Good luck. Good luck.
It's
okay,
not going to be a cordial thing. Bill Belichick does.
Do you think Brady runs to the middle of the field, just punches Bill Belichick right in the face?
I would love that. But
you hate Tom Brady. You want it the other way. You want somebody slapped to sleep.
I don't care. I would love for everybody to see how much of a bitch Tom Brady is when he throws a punch so they would understand that I'd kick the shit out of him if we fought. So, yes, I would love to see that. Also, I'm just down to watch any people fight. So if Tom Brady and Bill Belichick fought at the 50, star. I don't care who starts it. Yes, Dave, I want them to fight. But the Patriots getting 7 points at home, this Patriots team is going to be playing for their coach. Like, mm-hmm. If there's going to be an inspired play out of New England this season, it's this game. I know that the Bucs are going into this one thinking the same thing. Like, we're going to go win this one for Tom. But they're dealing with Bill Belichick, and he's got tricks up his sleeve for Tom Brady. That's my thing.
Okay.
Like, he knows what gets Tom Brady to suck. And hopefully he could get his guys to do that, because I would love for nothing more than to see Tom Brady play his final game ever in New England.
Oh, my God.
Fuck out of the game.
Just take him out?
If you're not done with Tom Brady, then I question your fanhood, your manhood, your...
I'm done like, with I'm him, like, done when the Tom season's Brady. Over, not I take his legs
to,
out.
I don't want him to die. I just want him to tear his ACL and not play anymore. You're
terrible. Now, keep in mind, though, let the record show that Gucci does not believe in karma at all. So
I do not
if Aaron Rodgers rolls his ankle, I can't even go to, hey, Gucci, maybe you shouldn't have said that about Tom Brady. He doesn't believe
in
that shit.
I'll actually get annoyed. I'll be so mad at you. I'll be like, Dave, shut the fuck up. It has zero to do with it. He rolled his ankle because that's what happened. Like, that's it.
That's life. All right, so both you and AJ riding with the Patriots because of the emotion and the Belichick and that way. Listen.
This is completely
listen
with my heart here.
Fine.
I can't believe that my heart lies with the New England fucking Patriots.
I will say Tom this. Brady. Tom Brady is very similar
three picks
to an Aaron Rodgers when it comes to off a loss. I think Tom Brady goes back to Beantown and beats the living shit out of the New England Patriots, and the debate is over, and then they're saying, all right, you know, everybody thinks Bill Belichick's the greatest coach
what
of all time.
What do you think Bill Belichick is doing right now?
He's like got right he's this second
like
as we're
preparing.
He's not only preparing. I think he's got a voodoo. Voodoo doll.
Oh yeah. There's this.
Like,
first of all, the Patriots are cheating. somehow or another. Like, they're doing something to gain an advantage. So don't discount that fact. All right. Bill Belichick does not care in this game. He's doing whatever he's got to do. That's it.
And listen, I think that the questions will be answered. And I think Tom Brady is that dude. Like,
what makes you say that?
I don't know. 97 rings on his fingers. But no, I truly think that Tom Brady goes into New England. Now, New England is infamous in their past to being hard to beat in Foxborough. They haven't won a game in Foxborough this year. They've lost two.
Yeah, if you're playing roulette and it lands on black twice in a row, probably bet red.
Oh, is that how it works? You're
going to land on red this time. Works?
No, I'm telling you right now, don't piss off Tommy, okay? Tom Brady is going to go out there and throw 5 touchdowns on the New England Patriots this week. Take it to the bank. Take your prop bets. Do whatever you got to do.
So 5 tutties, I'm going with 3 picks.
Still a nice stat line, if you ask me. That just means a lot of throwing like all over the place.
Or NFC Championship against us last
Yes, time. Yes, exactly.
Terrible.
Those are the picks.
The fucking GOAT.
Those are the picks for week number 4. Now, before we end the show, I will be remiss to not mention that we have ourselves our first chance to become a member of the Hater Fantasy Football Nation here, okay? Haters Fantasy Sports is something that we talked about in length last week when we finally came to terms with these guys. Remember, this is not your typical, prototypical fantasy football, okay? This is literally picking guys based off of performances that you think they're just going to shit the bed. But the difficult part is, see, anybody could do that. You know, I can go and say, Matt Ryan is my quarterback because I think he's going to suck, right? But it's not like that. You're going to get this massive salary that, you know, in DraftKings and FanDuel and all that stuff, you have to spend or you only get a certain amount.
So in DFS, typically you have to keep your budget underneath the specific number. In this case, you have to exceed that number in order to play.
Right. So you have to pick a couple guys that are good, but you just think that maybe they'll just kind of stink this week. I won it last week with 10 people. So here's the contest this week. You got to go to haterfantasysports.com, okay? There's going to be one game, all right? Or no, actually two games? No, one game.
One game.
One game, and it's going to be
called Chop Sports.
I just read it. I'll look it up right now. It's going to be called, the game is going to be called Chop Sports Sunday Hater, okay? That's the game you want to register your team and play, all right? And then, you know, draft your team. One entry per person, okay? We're going to try to see how many people in Chop Sports can stock this up, right? Here's the thing. It's free to enter this week. You know, this week as they still test their website and stuff. This is like a soft launch of sorts.
Yeah, we're in the beta phase.
We are in the beta phase. But here's the deal. You win. If you win and win this and consider yourself a new, brand new player to a game like this, if you win, Hater Fantasy Sports is going to give you $200. $200 Visa gift card for winning
and
this game.
And a t-shirt.
And a t-shirt that I actually own. It's actually a really nice t-shirt. Kind of has that logo that you're seeing on your screen right now, Hater Fantasy Sports, where it says, don't hate the player, hate the game. Or no, don't hate the game, hate the player. Yeah, see, I mixed that up already. But it's interesting. The concept is fun. I did it last week. It was hard, a lot harder, because everybody, like, it's so easy to just, not
look,
easy,
people,
but like,
this is what we do, right? We got a new game and we go play it.
Right.
It's fantasy football.
Right.
Remember the first time you ever played fantasy football?
I remember it like it was yesterday.
It was so cool. And then all of a sudden they came out with the DraftKings and it was like, oh, wow, daily fantasy for all you guys who are 0-6 in week 6. And
right.
Now you're like, oh, you know what? I wish I could have a team that matters so you could play one every week.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, different concept, but it's still fantasy sports, and it's still a way to make some money and have some
fun. So haterfantasyfootball.com. Register right now. One entry per person. Let's see how many of our Chop Sports people we can get in there and see if you guys got what it takes, because it ain't easy. I'm telling you right now, it's not easy. You have to use your brain. You have to. Yes, you will pick a couple guys that you're like, this guy's not even going to see the field. Great, but you got to pick that big guy. There's just a couple splash plays that you got to make. So give it your best shot. Win $200. Visa gift card, courtesy of Hater Fantasy Sports. So, with that, it's been another blockbuster banger of an episode here at the Chop Studios. Actually, not at Chop Studios, at Flipping Made Easy Studios. My guys over there at Flipping Made Easy. But again, week 4 is among us. Enjoy it. Embrace it. Have yourselves a great weekend. Drink some beers, eat some wings, eat some pizza, watch some football, and we'll see you guys on Monday to recap all the fun that was week four. Let's go Cowboys, and of course, let's go Packers, I guess. I mean, we like good vibes over here. We like good vibes. So, for Sturch and Gooch, and of course, AJ struggling from home right now, but he's fine. Everybody's fine. It's not like anything's running through this studio where, like, I was gone, you were gone, he's gone. Like, we're all just rotating here. So, AJ, get well soon. We'll see you back here on Monday.
Raise your hand if you're going pumpkin picking.
Oh, I am too. Saturday.
Hey,
tomorrow.
Hey,
we did it. Air five. All right, cool. We'll